Welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, brought to you by the South Florida chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. On the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach, we talk about the people they support, and the tools and techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches, their talents, and their client successes. Hello, I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Programming Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. If you're a coach, I'd like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, go to icfsouthflorida.org. Check out our calendar of events, and if you find an event that interests you, register for free as our guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. Today, Eileen Lopez-Tome joins the show. Eileen is an IPEC-trained professional coach. She's also the Deputy District Director of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, and she's also a cancer survivor, which is the basis for the coaching she does with other cancer survivors. And this is also at the heart of her cancer survivor support program, The Ecosystem of Healing, which she is going to tell us all about on today's show. Eileen Lopez-Tome, hello. Thank you for being here. It's so nice to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Eric. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you here. I'm glad you took the time, and I'm glad we get a chance to get to know you. Could you tell me, what was your journey to coaching like? What was it that drew you to coaching? How did you wind up being the coach you are today?
Thank you for that question. I love to tell my story. It comes in two parts. The first time I ever had a coach was in 2013. I had just been promoted to chief of staff. New job, big job, was learning and, you know, trying to get my legs under me. We had an opportunity at my district to reach out and get a coach. I never had a coach before. I signed up and she made all the difference in that new big position that I had just been selected for. Right around the time that I got that promotion, I found out that I was pregnant with my fifth child. You know, it was a little bit of a surprise. So I was navigating some complexity in my personal life as well. Fast forward about 3 years, and I got diagnosed with breast cancer. So I reached back out to my coach, who by now had become my friend, but she helped me to navigate, you know, kind of the early stages of the diagnosis and treatment and just trying to wind my way through that minefield. And midway through my chemotherapy, I signed up for a visioning workshop. I went to the visioning workshop with my sisters. It was around the new year, January of 2017, it would have been. And it was led by a coach. She was a graduate of IPEC. Her name is Shannon Egan. And she is, you know, another coach who made all the difference for me at that point in my life. The way that she led that workshop helped me to see a future beyond my diagnosis, beyond the treatment, the very invasive treatment I was experiencing, and helped me to see a future beyond the fear that many cancer survivors go through about whether or not we're going to make it. So after the workshop, I walked up to her and I introduced myself and I said, how can I do what you do? I want to be a coach. She talked to me about IPEC and I looked into it and signed up. Started right after I was I'd wrapped up my cancer treatment. I started my coursework with IPEC, and that's how I became a coach.
Love that story. Love that story. Don't want to. You're smiling, which is great, and that's why I'm smiling too. We're radiating the energy. But I don't want to make light of the cancer diagnosis and the trials and the impact of that. And I'm glad to hear that coaching was helpful and a big part of that, as I expect it would be. I will say, I know Shannon Egan somewhat well, and she's a fantastic coach. And I'm so happy that you mentioned her by name. If anyone's interested in these visioning workshops, visioning sessions.
I don't know if she still offers them. This was back in, like I said, January 2017.
Yeah. And you can find, if you're interested in Shannon, you can, the name of her company is Shannon Claire Coaching. And you can do a quick Google search on that. You can find out all about Shannon. But yes, she's great. So I wanted to throw that out there. And I know that we'll talk a little bit more about coaching and the diagnosis with breast cancer a little bit later when we talk about maybe some of the side work that you do in private practice. But I want to go back to this big chief of staff job. I mean, would you care to tell us who that job was with?
Sure. It was with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, specifically with what we call the Miami and Caribbean District. So the district encompasses just south of West Palm Beach through the Florida Keys, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'd always wanted to be a chief of staff. It's a job that captured my imagination from the time almost that I entered government service in 1999. Got the opportunity at that point in my life and my career. My kids were mostly older. I'd worked my way up through supervision and management. There was an opportunity to apply for it, and I stepped up and I got selected. And it's, as you can imagine, it is a big job, and it's a job that has a very diverse portfolio. The chief of staff, in our organization at least, handles everything from HR, hiring and staffing, labor and employee relations, relationships with our union, training, congressional relationships. So just this whole panoply of really interesting and complex and rich work within our agency. So one of my favorite jobs to date in my life, and definitely since I've been with government.
And they had a coaching culture in place then.
So I have to give kudos to the leaders that were my leadership at the time that were that oversaw our district and then our region. You know, they were really invested in and believed in coaching. They offered it to all of the to the deputy director at the time, the chief of staff, the directors of the offices in the field, you know, the kind of higher level managers and leaders. And it was an optional offering, but the fact that they invested in it, looking back now, I think was just really kind of ahead of its time, especially in our agency and I think in government as well. And Eric, I was so lost. I was so happy to be in that position, but so lost that I just thought the only thing I knew about coaches at the time had to do with life coaching. So I'm not sure how this person who works within the government is going to be able to help me navigate everything I'm going through. And I just kind of reached up for a hand for help, and I got it in the form of this coach who was just life-changing work that I did with her, not just work, you know, changed my perspective at work, but just all the way around in my life.
So the coaching worked?
Absolutely did work and helped me. I think one of the most powerful things and one of the first things that this coach helped me to do was to become aware that I was even telling myself stories about myself as a leader, about my team members, colleagues, conflicts that, you know, arose as they are wont to do in any, work environment. And I remember feeling offended when she first brought that up. You mean stories? This is real. These are facts, you know? And so she helped me unpack all of that. And I think that was the single most powerful thing that a coach could have helped me walk through at that time. And even since, I'm still discovering on a regular basis that I'm telling myself stories about certain things. The awareness is there now. So the time between me telling myself a story and figuring out that it's just a story I'm telling myself is much more condensed than back then. It was very powerful and very helpful.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, gosh, stories. I mean, it's just, yeah, they're real. I mean, they're fake, but they're real. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And yeah, I mean, the antidote to that, of course, is the self-awareness piece. And I think that's great that it sounds like you were working with a very capable coach. And I'm pulling from this that, you know, it had a very large impact on your success in this role.
Absolutely. I would say that is absolutely correct and continue. So I was in that role for about 5 years, left to go work for our headquarters for a little bit, came back to our district, this time as a deputy district director, the deputy director. Now I'm a coach. I have a coach because now I know, right? Whether you're a coach or a manager or a leader or whatever position you're in, a coach is key to help you navigate every landscape.
Yeah. Once you know that you need a coach,
there's no unknown.
Yeah. Which brings me to the second time that you engage with a coach with the breast cancer diagnosis. How was the coaching, or I guess I'm asking in what ways was the coaching beneficial or fundamental to recovery or impactful? In what ways for you?
Before I answer that really great question, I want to not give a disclaimer, but just say that each cancer survivor's experience is unique. So I don't speak on behalf of all survivors. And in answering this question, I'm speaking on behalf of myself. When I first got the cancer diagnosis, as you can imagine, it was a shock. I had this great position. I had a three-year-old, four other kids, you know, varying ages and stages of life. Wonderful husband and family, and just was very busy and doing really great things at all levels. So got diagnosed. And the first thing that I jumped into was, you know, find a doctor, meet with the doctor right away, go through biopsy, staging, all of that, right? Which is very important and is part of the process. Somewhere in those first few weeks, I also thought, how do I want to go through this? How do I want to show up in this space? I needed a coach to help me navigate that. So I reached back out to my coach, the coach that I had signed up with back when I became a chief of staff. We were friends by now, but you know, she still helped me through it as a coach slash friend. And she, the most important thing that she did for me is to ask me those questions, you know, about how do you want to show up in this space? What is it that you're afraid of? What can you control? And of the things that you control, what do you want to keep control of and what do you want to let go of? You know, because there is, in that space of breast cancer diagnosis, you quickly lose control over a lot. And so trying to discern what it is that you want to hold on to and what you want to let go of became at least very important to me as part of my recovery, if not physical, as part of my spiritual and my mental recovery.
Thank you for taking us through that. I mean, so many of us have been touched firsthand or secondhand by cancer diagnoses. Thank you for being brave and sharing that with us. It is interesting that, you know, that coaching is a tool that can be applied to so many situations. And yes, when we need support, when we need support. So I'm glad that coaching was there for you in that. I am curious, a quick follow-up question, though. You had mentioned this was the coach that you went through your, I guess, for lack of a better term, cancer coaching with. When you went through that phase of coaching, was this was the same coach that you had used before? I mean, in the sense of you didn't go to a specific, like, I work with people who are going through cancer diagnoses.
Well, no, I didn't even realize there was such a thing. There are cancer coaches or cancer recovery coaches, or, you know, they call themselves many different things. My coach is, I think that's the only coach I had ever worked with at that point. And she is really just the first person that I thought to reach out to as a coach. Now, a few months after that, I went to a visioning workshop that was, like we said at the beginning, offered by Shannon Egan. And that's really where I got the bug for, you know, being a coach, because, you know, my first coach got me to a certain point in my cancer journey. And then Shannon helped me get all the way to seeing past treatment and reentry, you know, post-cancer reentry into normal life. And I'm using air quotes around normal, whatever that means. Yeah, it was very powerful. And that's really where I just thought, I want to pay this forward. I want to be a coach and pay it forward.
Right. So at this point now, you're considering, I want to pay it forward. I'm thinking about coaching, learning how to coach.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was thinking.
And you went to IPEC.
I went to IPEC. So I spoke to Shannon after that visioning workshop. She told me that she was a graduate of IPEC. And I, you know, looked them up. I saw their price tag and took a momentary pause because a coaching program is an investment. Luckily, in my agency, we have a program that gives us each employee a training budget. And so through that program, I was able to pay for some of the IPEC coaching program. So as soon as I found that out, you know, went through that paperwork, I signed up and I applied to be a IPEC coaching student. And went on that wonderful journey. It was just and so soon after my cancer diagnosis and treatment, going through, you know, coaching school or coaching program, also was part of my healing journey.
I absolutely can see that. I can see how that could dovetail into that. Yeah. Allow me to make this quick diversion for those listeners out there who are, you know, again, thinking about, I don't know, perhaps becoming a coach or going through, or even just entertaining the thought of going through a coach training program. I just want to remind you that many employers do offer and do have funds for training or ongoing continuing education or professional development. And knowing now what we know about the benefits of coaching within an organization, I think companies are very eager these days to build these skills. So if you are considering this, it's worth picking up the employee handbook and seeing what's available for you. Because as Eileen mentioned, the training schools, particularly the fantastic ones, the price can be a little daunting at first, for sure.
Yes, that's a great word. It was daunting.
One thing I'm curious about with IPEC, and this isn't, while we're on the topic of coaching programs, you know, a lot of the coaching programs out there seem to either be really focused on technique, specifically coaching skills, coaching skill development, et cetera. And then some of the coaching schools seem to sort of mix it, sort of half and half, where it's like half coaching skills and the other half is like how to set up your coaching business, market yourself and niche down and all that sort of popular thinking on how to become a coach. I get the sense, become a coach, here's how you do it. Become a coach, here's how you make money with it in theory. But at IPEC, did they, I assume it's primarily technique that they focus on, or did they also focus on the business side stuff?
They did focus on the business side stuff. And at least when I was going through IPEC, they paired you with a mentor coach, but they also paired you with I forget what the term they use is, but a business mentor, coaching business mentor coach. And I was lucky to be paired with one of the co-founders of IPEC. And so, you know, we had a few sessions and in which we talked about niching down. We talked about my experience. I remember with her, one of the things that I shared with her is that I found it very difficult to transition back into the office after, I was done with cancer treatment. And so we talked about that and how that even could be a potential area that I could think about focusing my coaching work, you know, helping other women, breast cancer survivors. You know, we know, sadly, 1 in 8 women in the United States are diagnosed with breast cancer. And so reaching out and offering my services to that population. So they did offer us tools and techniques, and there are resources on their portal for their graduates and their coaches on that. But yes, I would say that just like in college, I went to law school. I also have a law degree. And just like when you go to law school or you get a master's degree or you go to college, you learn a lot of theory and then real life teaches you how to apply that or how to make money from the theory that you learned. And so I have to say my experience with IPEC teaching coaching techniques was outstanding. And the other thing that I felt that I walked away with from IPEC is coaching confidence, which is something that can be learned. You know, so those out there who are thinking about becoming coaches and are like doubting whether or not they can ever have the confidence to show up in a space with a client or a group and lead a group coaching session. Yes, you absolutely can. Coaching confidence is not necessarily born. It can be made, especially if you go through a good program and you get the practice that you need and you're taught the techniques for that. So I'm very grateful to them for helping me to develop coaching confidence.
Thank you for that. I think those are some very excellent considerations in there. And yes, I can appreciate the business side of it. And I had not realized that they had that much business in there. So that's actually new information to me. So thank you for sharing that. That's really great to hear. It's nice that they have such a robust business side there, because I know from all the IPEC coaches that I've known through the years, that the technique is definitely there, that you definitely walk away from the IPEC program with the skills to do the job. This sounds like it might be a great time to get into Eileen. Could you tell us a little bit about who you coach and what you help them with and what kind of results they get, et cetera?
So I told you a little bit about the work that I do in federal government, in the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. My agency has a coach cadre program. It's called Coaching to Lead. And the cadre is made up of other managers, executives that are, you know, that work in our agency who are also certified professional coaches. Our clients are folks who are men and women who are in kind of the higher, you know, level management positions, not quite executives yet, but either coming into these higher level management positions for the first time or already there and are seeking career coaching, leadership development. I kind of accidentally stumbled into that area of coaching. When I first graduated from IPEC, my heart was really in coaching breast cancer survivors. And I'll tell you a little bit more about some work I've done in that area in a little bit. But to get practice and to under my belt and to be able to coach, which I love doing, I just realized I love coaching in every space that I've been a coach in so far. And this one is no exception. I signed up to be a member of this cadre. Some of my, I guess, my results, I love working with, and I've worked primarily with women of all ages and stages, but who were mostly young in their government careers. So they've been maybe already first line supervisors, or maybe even second line supervisors, but they're looking to move up to that higher level management position, or they're on an executive track. Someday they want to be an executive, and they're navigating those transitions. Like, you know, what's the name of that book? What got you here won't get you there, right? They're in that kind of like, they're in between space of I've been successful here in these previous positions, so much so that I, you know, got promoted or I'm putting in for promotion. And I'm just not sure how to show up in this new role. You know, I'm realizing that doing things the way that I usually do them are just not resonating with my new team or not getting the results that my new boss needs me to produce. And so those are my clients. And I just recently coached a young woman who, from the time we started to the time we ended, one of the most satisfying things to see the transformation was to see the self-awareness. The self-awareness followed by self-acceptance, right? Followed by the realization that I don't need to give up who I am or how I show up to be successful. I just need to expand my view of this land, this area, this new position that I'm navigating, and add a few tools and perspectives to my toolbox. And that young woman went on to successfully compete for and get promoted.
It reminds me of you mentioned a book, and now I'll mention a book. It reminds me of this book's got to be 40 years old at this point, The Peter Principle. It's a book that I believe sort of stipulated at a high level, if you're going to reduce a book to one line, that basically through your career, you get promoted and promoted again and promoted again until you eventually get promoted into a job. You get overpromoted. You get promoted into a job that is beyond your current abilities. And this is where the expectation is that your career sort of ends. Once you get to that point, that's sort of like your past pinnacle. And now what do you do? This book is 30 years old, right? 30, maybe 40 years old. And coaching, of course, is really, you know, 20 years old. I think we sort of agree that 20. So yes, when you say yes, people are in new roles, given new opportunities, and it's beyond them how to, initially, it's beyond them how to deal with that or operationally activate in that role, enter the coach.
And Eric, I have to say, I'm sure this happens in the private sector as well. Within the government especially, we tend to reward and promote technical experts. So especially in my agency, it's immigration, right? Those officers that become really proficient and really good at the legal side of the house, right? Like interviewing someone who's applying for U.S. citizenship, determining whether they're eligible, being efficient and coming to that determination, being productive, right? Like they get promoted to first line supervisor. Then as a first line supervisor, they use that technical proficiency then to guide a group of officers, right? And they become really technically proficient at that. So we keep promoting folks for their technical proficiency. But at some point, you get to a position where you get further and further away from the technical work, the work, the on-the-ground work, the boots-on-the-ground work. And now you're being asked to, you're at that like vision level, or you're at that bigger picture, you know, level. And that's where I see and where I myself floundered, because now all of a sudden, wait, my technical expertise, which is what got me this far, doesn't matter as much anymore. And then, like you said, enter a coach, right? And can help you to, you already, you know, I believe my clients all already have the skills and they already have all that they need to fully step into those new positions or to fully embody those new positions that they're already in. It's just helping them see that, helping them to understand, unlocking all of that potential.
And now we're back to awareness.
Yes.
Almost at any stage, as I look back now on my career where I've been promoted, I can now look back and think the impact would have been so different had I been working with a coach at that time.
Absolutely.
So let that be a lesson to any listeners out there who are, you know, young and embarking on their careers. Engage with a coach young and you'll reap the benefits for the rest of your life. That, and remember to contribute fully to your 401k. You will thank me later. So I'll tell you now, may I ask you about the breast cancer survivor coaching that you endeavored to do?
So maybe this is a good spot to just talk a little bit about what the definition of cancer survivor, breast cancer, or other diagnosis. So from the moment that someone is diagnosed with cancer, for the rest of their life, they're considered a survivor. So you don't have to be done with treatment. You don't have to be in the middle of treatment. You don't even have to go through invasive treatment to be considered a survivor. So I want to start there. So anyone from diagnosis through post-treatment for the rest of their lives is considered a survivor. Like I said, when I went into IPEC, my passion and my heart was to coach breast cancer survivors. After I graduated, I have to say that I had a hard time putting myself out there as a breast cancer survivor coach or a cancer survivor coach. I felt a little bit, how do I do this without it feeling like I'm exploiting someone, you know's grief or fear? And there you go. There's a story, right, that I was telling myself. Had the good fortune to go through a workshop for coaches, had someone help me dispel that. Like, people need you. There are cancer survivors out there who need you to be their coach. It's a service that's needed. So I made some flyers, some very old school flyers, gave them to my oncologist, gave them to my physical therapist who helped, you know, who was my physical therapist after surgery, other cancer survivors. And I just started getting calls from moms whose daughters had just been diagnosed, from neighbors, friends at church who'd either been diagnosed or knew someone who was diagnosed. And so I had the good fortune to coach, a handful of women through their breast cancer journey. And so had the privilege to accompany some amazing women through this journey, this difficult but possibly empowering journey nonetheless.
Plus one to everything you just said, but particularly to the idea dealing with the story that's, you know, the initial hesitation that somehow you're taking advantage of someone who's in a bad situation. Absolutely. If we look at it from a third perspective, we could see, yes, there's a desperate need here for support. If there is a time when you need support, this certainly has to be one of those times. Yeah.
Most definitely.
I'm so glad that you're doing that work. And I'm so glad that that's there. I'm such a believer in very specific applications of coaching to very specific life traumas, right? Divorces, medical diagnoses, loss of job, loss of loved one, et cetera. So thank you for taking part of that burden, and thank you for taking it. So you passed out flyers, huh? Did they teach you that at IPEC?
That was my me just being old school marketing. I actually had an IPEC classmate who was also did graphic design. She designed a logo for me. It was a beautiful logo. And I just thought, I'm just going to walk around and hand these out and talk to the people that I know that are in the breast cancer community. Just at the time, it just felt like the right thing to do, because most of the interactions that I was having with the breast cancer community were in person, either because I was going to the Miami Cancer Institute, which is where I got treatment, or, you know, going to support groups, attending fundraisers. And I was very, very immersed in the breast cancer community. So I thought, I'll just walk around and hand out. But I made these really beautiful business cards with the same logo that my classmate designed. And it felt great just walking around and introducing myself and handing out my business card and my flyer.
We joke about it. We had a good laugh. The fact of the matter is, yes, I'm sure that was profoundly impactful marketing strategy. Great things happen when we go out into the world and tell people what we do. And that applies to whatever business you're in. Showing up, being present, being the face, talking about it. I can see how, particularly with that type of coaching, that type of client, that kind of situation, yes, I could see how that was remarkably effective. And I don't know, I commend you on the creativity. And, you know, yeah. Do you take private practice clients for cancer, breast cancer survivor coaching?
Absolutely, I do. Because I have a full-time job, you know, in the federal space, and I do coaching in that space as well. I limited the number of private clients that I take, but I do take private clients. I do speaking engagements as well. I had the privilege and the honor to be invited to speak at the American Cancer Association fundraiser that they did 1 year to talk about my own experience. So I do speaking engagements, group coaching, and I have enjoyed it and love doing it.
And I wonder, since you brought up group coaching, with breast cancer survivor coaching or cancer survivor coaching in general, you mentioned group coaching. Is group coaching where it's at, or is it more one-on-one? Like, what do you think, where do you see the big impact?
That's a great question. I've done one-on-one coaching primarily in this space. I've also helped to facilitate support groups. And so when I think of group coaching, maybe I think less of the survivors themselves and more of the people who work with survivors in organizations, the volunteers, the leaders of those organizations. But certainly I think that group coaching, there's space for group coaching even in the cancer survivor community.
Very cool. Thank you for your thoughts on that. Eileen, do you want to say anything about the ecosystem of healing?
Thank you for asking. I would love to. So the ecosystem of healing is a process that was born while I was in IPEC, a student in IPEC, during a peer coaching session. You know, we are whole people. We are complex, interconnected. We have a network of feelings, of experiences, relationships, environments that we inhabit, you know, work, community, family, friendships. And when we get diagnosed with something like breast cancer or cancer, it's important to step back and examine that ecosystem that we're a part of and ask, what is serving me now in this space of cancer treatment, cancer diagnosis, and what's not? Well, you'd be surprised at how surprised my clients are when I ask them that question. It's almost, I've gotten almost like a look of relief, like an exhale when I ask that question. It's giving them permission to look around and say, what do I need to be in my ecosystem? And what is there too much of in my ecosystem such that there's an imbalance now in this really crucial time where I need all of my energy, all of my emotions, my thoughts, everything to be really focused and zeroed in on this journey, this healing journey that I'm on.
Yeah. I need that energy to fight.
Yes. So that's a process that I take my coaching, my cancer coaching clients to right through is that ecosystem of healing process.
That's really cool. So how long have you been doing the ecosystem of healing?
Since I graduated from IPEC in 2018, it's evolved over time. It was on my flyer that I handed out. I would, you know, if I handed out flyers now today, it would be a different flyer because the system has certainly evolved and it continues to evolve. Every client that I take through the system helps me, you know, I learn new things about what is helpful and what's serving that client, what could serve other clients in similar situations.
Yeah, isn't that amazing also about being a coach? The more you coach, the more you learn about yourself, about the world, about coaching, about everything. It's an amazing, I don't know what, intellectual puzzle to be constantly working, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I can't tell you, I feel like coaching has saved my life over and over again. And I don't think I don't feel like I'm overstating that. Every time I feel like all the layers have been pulled back, I discover more layers to pull back. And there's so much beauty and peace and joy and new perspectives every time I pull a layer away, you know, with the help of a coach. I love it. And I feel like it's a privilege that I'm able to do that with my clients as well.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's remarkably, remarkably rewarding on so many different levels. So after going through all this, where, if anyone needs to get in touch with you or wants to reach out and say hello, where can they find you? What's the best way to connect?
The best place to connect is on LinkedIn. I do have a website, it's EileenLopezTomeyCoach.com, but best place to find me is LinkedIn, Eileen Lopez Tomei.
Great. So Eileen Lopez Tomei, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. Before we go, we always end with this question. But before I throw the question out, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for bringing your wisdom and your insight and your intuition. Thank you for sharing your experiences. Thank you for taking us through the work that you do and why you do it. So thank you so much for all of that.
Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. So what do you see when you look into the crystal ball and you think about the future of coaching? What is it that you see?
I see so much opportunity, Eric. If the pandemic has certainly taught us anything, it's that the world needs more coaches and more coaching. I really, when I look at the future of coaching, I feel hopeful. I think there's plenty of coaching business to go around for everyone. There's so many spaces. I don't think we've even begun to discover all of the different spaces where coaching can add value. It just requires us to open up our imaginations, and there's an abundance of people who need us and who need our colleagues, and we need more coaches. And so I'm really excited and hopeful for our future as human beings and for the future of the coaching profession when I look into that crystal ball.
Ah, that's a great note to leave it on. Eileen, again, I'll thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Eileen Lopez Tomei.
Thank you, Eric.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coach's Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.